is in Chelek Yud Gimel, Volume 13 of the Likutei Sichos. In Parshas Maaseh, we read about the division of the land among the tribes. And there are many details that need to be understood. Number one, the Rebbe says, that there's a contradiction here. On the one hand, the land was divided in a rational, logical fashion. L'rav tar b'nachlosi, u'lema'at tamit. The greater tribe, the larger tribe, was given a larger portion. The smaller tribe was given a smaller portion, logically. And what's more, the Gemara says that the portions were not measured strictly by quantity, by size, but rather by quality. So a smaller portion could be given if it was qualitatively greater or produced more. So we see that it was all done in a very logical fashion. And on the other hand, we're told, V'hisnachaltem es ha'aretz b'geidol, or ach b'geidol yicholik es ha'aretz, that the land should be divided by throwing or drawing lots through a geidol. So that's one thing that needs to be understood. Number two, before they drew the lots, Elazar prophesied through the Urim the Tumim. The Kohen Gadol prophesies to the Urim and Tumim which part of the land belongs to whom. So why was it then also necessary to draw the lots? And the third thing is concerning this drawing of the lots, the sages say Shavas b'nei Yisrael v'amarta aleihem, that the Jews were commanded that they should take the results of the lots very seriously and not question their authority. And then the Tshuvas Geinim says that anybody who violates what the lots show is violating the Geidol, the lots, is like violating the Ten Commandments. So the question is, what is the relationship between the lots and the Ten Commandments? Why not commandments in general? Why the Ten Commandments? So to understand all of this, we first have to understand the three parts of Torah. We find in Torah that it is sometimes described as a Yerusha, an inheritance. As we say, Torah tziva lanu meisha mei rosha kihilas Yaakov, that the Torah is an inheritance to the Jews. So we acquire Torah by inheriting it. Then number two, we find in the Gemara, where the Gemara says, "Amar Hakadosh Baruch Hu Yisrael, Macharti Lachem Teirasi." God says, "I have sold you my Torah." So we acquire Torah through purchase. We buy the Torah, according to this Medrash. And then number three, we find that it's a matana. We find that the Torah is acquired by being given to us as a gift. Again, as the sages say, three good presents God gave to the Jewish people, and Torah is one of them. As we say in the davening, Zman Matan Torah Seinu, that Shavuos is the time of the gifting of the Torah. The Torah was given to us as a gift. Now, the difference between these three forms of acquisition, Yerusha, inheritance, is not dependent on the talents and the abilities of the inheritor. Whether he's young or old, whether he's smart or not, learned or not, and as the Mishnah says, Tinuk ben yem echad meichel umanchil, a child one day old inherits and can pass on an inheritance. Whereas acquiring something through purchase, you have to be able to pay the value of the object being acquired. Both of them, inheritance and purchase, there needs to be some kind of a relationship between the receiver, the one who is acquiring, and what he's acquiring. In the inheritance, in order to inherit, you have to be related to to the person who from whom you're inheriting. So there has to be a relationship there. And in essence, the heir is related to what he's inheriting because it in some sense belongs to him originally. And that's why it passes on to him automatically without any effort. But he has to be related to what he is inheriting. And in the purchase, you have to be able to pay that for that which you are acquiring. So you have to have an equal value in order to acquire through purchase. Whereas when you get something through a gift, the receiver, the recipient of the gift, needs to have no relationship to the gift at all. It is given to him as a whim or by the will of the giver. But it is no way related to it before it is given to him. And so we find these three things in Torah. Number one, we have the inheritance of Torah, where every single Jew, regardless of who or what he is, as long as he is from the children of Israel, he inherits the Torah. As we say that the word Yisrael, the word for Jews, is a Rosh HaTevis, an acronym, Yesh Shishim Ribi Eishiyis LaTorah. Every Jew is represented in Torah by a letter. So every Jew has a letter in Torah simply by inheritance. And that's why every Jew has an obligation to study Torah at least to some degree. So in this, all Jews are equal, that every Jew has to study Torah, and as the expression is, Ve'ein adam yochol lipater atzmi mechiyuv zeh. No person, no matter what his situation is, can free himself of this obligation to study at least some Torah. That's the inheritance. Number two, there is the purchase of Torah, and that is the part of Torah that is understood and comprehended through study. It comes to the person through hard work, through striving, and as the Mishnah says, Lo yagaito matzasa al tamin. If a person says, I have acquired Torah without effort, don't believe him. Just as it is impossible for a person to buy something without paying for it. And it's concerning this part of Torah that the sages say, Haskin atzmacha lume Torah she'eino yirishalach. Prepare yourself to study Torah because it is not an inheritance. In other words, the understanding and the knowledge of Torah does not come as an inheritance. And here we find that no two people are alike. Ein deyiseihem shavis. Everybody's mind works differently. It depends on the gifts or the talents with which you are born, and also in the manner in which you strive and approach the study of Torah. And also in the obligation to study, we find that there's a great difference between the one who is obligated to study Torah day and night because his lifestyle permits it versus the one who works hard and his obligation is to study one chapter in the morning, one chapter at night, or sometimes even less than that. That's the purchase of Torah. Then there's the third part, the gift of Torah. This is where Torah is given to a person from above, not limited, not measured to the limitations of a created being, because the other forms, the inheritance and the purchase, all are a result of the person's existence, the inheritance, or of the person's understanding, the purchase. But this gift, this comes completely from above. It is God's desire to give us this gift, and it has nothing to do with what we are or who we are. As the sages say that in the beginning Moshe studied Torah, but he kept forgetting until God gave him the Torah as a gift, which means that in order for the Torah to be permanently memorized without any forgetfulness, which is really superhuman, that is not the nature of a human being, this is a gift from above that God gives Torah as a matana. And it is this part of Torah that is called Goyro. That's the lots. Because just as a gift is given to the recipient, independent of his knowledge or his abilities, in the same way, when something is chosen by a gozo, by a lot, it is really independent of any thought or of any human consideration, but rather may Hashem yipul hagozo. The result of a lot is determined by God, by divine providence. And that's why the lot represents that which is above the human condition. Now, in this aspect of Torah that is given as a gift, although, as we said before, it comes strictly as a choice on God's part. God wishes to give Torah as a gift, and it is not the result of the recipient's efforts or worth. Yet we find that the sages say, "I lav the oved le naicha le nafshe le have yohiv le." That when a person gives another person a gift, it must mean that the recipient of the gift somehow pleased the giver. Because had he not pleased the giver would not be moved to give the gift. So even in the giving of a gift, there is some quality necessary in the recipient that moves the giver to give him the gift. The only difference is that in the inheritance and in the purchase, what the recipient gets is earned or deserved and can be demanded in court. If you pay for something, then you have a right to it. You can demand it. And if you are the heir, then you can demand your inheritance. Whereas the person who pleases another person, that may move the giver to give the gift, but the recipient certainly can't demand it and can't claim it in court. He can't force the giving of a gift. So there has to be some kind of a pleasantness to the recipient, but that's not the same as having earned or deserved what he's getting. And that's why the sages say, "Yagaiti umatsasi tamen." If I strive, if a person says I've worked hard and I have succeeded in Torah, believe him. And it's explained elsewhere that umatsasi, I have succeeded, means I've succeeded beyond my efforts. And that's why it's called matsasi, matsia, like finding something that you weren't expecting to find. It came to you unexpectedly. So it's beyond what your efforts deserved. And yet, even though it is a matsia, even though it's beyond what you expected, yet it comes as a direct result of your efforts, which means that the effort draws, brings, reveals, and therefore forces the mind to understand beyond what the person expected. And that's why you have the opposite expression as well. Yogaiti v'lo matzosi al tamen. A person who says, "I have tried very hard, but I have not succeeded in understanding Torah," don't believe him. So we see that the effort not only makes it possible for you to understand, but it makes it necessary. You can't try and not succeed, because the trying produces the success. Whereas the giving of a gift is completely beyond anything the human being does. Because that's coming as a choice of the Creator, not as the efforts of the creation. And that's why it's called matana, matnas chinam. It is given for free, even though there has to be some preparation on the part of the recipient. He has to be pleasing to God, and when he is, then the gift is given. We find the same thing with the drawing of the lots. We find where the Silas and Chivas Chavis Yair says that if a person draws lots properly, then the divine providence will shine through and tell him how he should behave. In fact, the Rebbe writes elsewhere that if a person needs to know what to do and he's in a quandary and can't decide, he should draw lots. And when you draw lots, the Hashgacha Pratis is telling you exactly what to do. But that's if you draw the lots properly, honestly. So we see that even in the drawing of the lots, which is a divine providence, you still have to have a certain honesty on the part of the human beings, on the part of the creations, so that the Creator's intentions can shine through and guide the person in how he should behave. Just as Moshe Rabbeinu had to study the Torah first and forget it, or forget some of it, and only then was it given to him as a gift from above, to where he couldn't forget. And that's what the Mishnah means. When the Mishnah says, Yehi Ratzon Ufanecha, may it be your will, Hashem Elokeinu Velokei Avisheinu, our God and God of our fathers, Sheyebaneh Beis HaMikdash B'Meheira B'Yameinu, that the Beis HaMikdash should be built swiftly in our days, V'Sein Chokeinu B'Sei Rosecha, and give us our portion in your Torah. And here we need to understand, what is the meaning of this prayer? Give us our portion in your Torah. If a person learns, I've worked hard and I have found and I have succeeded, then you believe him. If a person hasn't studied, hasn't worked hard, then he can't claim to have succeeded as a result of some prayer. So what is this prayer where we ask God to give us our portion in the Torah? And number two, what's the relationship between having our portion in Torah with the building of the Beis HaMikdash? And number three, what does it mean, Chalkeinu, our portion, as if it's already ours? And then we say, give us our portion, but the Torah Secha in your Torah. So it's not ours, it's yours. So if we're going to talk about our portion in the Torah, then I should say, V'sein lanu chelek b'seira. Give us a portion in Torah, not our portion, and not in your Torah. So the explanation is, the main meaning of this prayer is that it's referring to the part of Torah that is given as a gift. The same. Same comes from the word matana. And that comes from above, which is beyond the reach of any human effort, and that's why you have to have a prayer and a request that it be given as a gift. But on the other hand, in order to be worthy of a gift, you have to be pleasing. You have to do something right. And that's why we're asking for the part of Torah that is a gift after we've already successfully acquired that part of Torah which is our part. When we've understood all that we can understand as a result of our efforts, the Sein Chalkeinu, our portion, the part that we've understood through effort, B'Seira Secha, we want that to be connected and immersed in the part of Torah that is your Torah, the part of Torah that is given from above as a gift, so that our learning of Torah should not be separated, what we understand by our own efforts of Torah should not be separated or severed from that part of Torah which is a gift from above. As the Gemara says, that it's good that a person should come to Gan Eden. When a person passes away, he should come to Gan Eden, he should come to heaven, v'talmudei biyodei, and his study should be in his hands. And then, that which he studied in this world, but understood it only superficially, he will then understand, be taught, and come to understand it on a much deeper level in Gan Eden, on the level of the secrets of Torah. So there's a merging and a joining of the Torah that is in your hand, Talmud Dei, his Torah, the part that you learned, and then it is enlightened, illuminated by the deeper and hidden meanings of Torah, the part that is a gift. And so it was with Moshe also, that after he studied the part that he could study, to the degree that he could study it, then it was given as God's gift, which is unforgettable, just as Ein Shikcha Lefnei Kisei Kredecha, just as God has no forgetfulness, the Torah that was given to Moshe also contained no forgetfulness. And that's why this is connected to the prayer of Yibana Beis Hamikdash B'mheira B'yameinu, because that part of Torah which is a gift will be ultimately revealed in the teachings of Mashiach, Terosh Hashol Mashiach, after the building of the Beis Hamikdash. Now the difference between an inheritance and a purchase in Torah, those two parts of Torah, that come as a result of the human condition, and the gift part of Torah, the matan of Torah, that comes as a result of the giver, of the Creator, can be recognized also in the way that Torah was given to the Jews. We say Torah tziva lanu Moshe, and the Gemara says that Torah has the numerical value of 611, because Moshe brought us 611 mitzvahs. The other two mitzvahs, the first two commandments of the Ten Commandments, we heard from God directly. So all the other mitzvahs were given through Moshe, but those two, the first two of the Ten Commandments, were given the Pi HaGvura Shamayim, and we heard it directly from God. And the reason is, the study of all mitzvahs of Torah is that part of the Torah that we need to understand and comprehend. And therefore it was given through Moshe, because Moshe is the one who brings us an understanding of Torah. But the first two commandments, I am God your God, and you should have no other gods, the content of those commandments is faith and the acceptance of the yoke of heaven. And that should be far beyond anything we understand and anything we can rationalize. And so that comes as a gift from above. And that's why those two commandments were said directly by God and not through Moshe. This giving of Torah from God directly, Matan Torah, which is the gift of Torah, because it comes as a gift from above, was prepared for. The Jews got themselves ready for that part of Torah by saying Nase before Nishma. We will do before we will hear. And that shows a complete acceptance, a total submission to God's will. So that was the effort on the part of the creation, or a part of the created beings, which is not at all comparable to what was given in Vayered Hashem al Har Sinai Vedaber Elikim. So it's not that the Nase v'Nishma, the fact that Jews said we will do and we will hear, that earned them the Torah, they therefore deserved the Torah, but rather it made them receptive to Torah that was being given far beyond anything that they could have earned or deserved or demanded by right. Now the fact that the other eight commandments were part of Matan Torah, it's not that Matan Torah ended after the first two commandments and the other eight were earned, but Matan, the gift of Torah, included the other eight commandments. This shows that they too are on the level of the first two commandments. And we'll understand this based on what the Ramban says. The Ramban says that the other eight commandments work this way. The Jews heard God saying the other eight commandments. They heard God's voice stating the commandments, but they didn't understand them until Moshe explained them. So the first two they understood, but the other eight they didn't understand and needed to have Moshe explain it to them. But they in fact heard God's voice pronouncing the other eight commandments as well. So, number one, what's the point in hearing God's voice when you don't understand what it's saying? And number two, what is the difference between the first two commandments and the other eight? Why they were able to understand the first two but not the other eight? So the explanation is as follows. The commandments, I am God your God, and you shall have no other God, came to the Jews as a form of emunah and kabbalah soil, as a gift from above. And that's why they heard it directly from God, and they didn't need Moshe to explain it to them. But it's not enough that the Emunah and the Kabbalah Seul, the faith and the acceptance of the yoke, should remain disconnected from all the other mitzvahs of Torah. They have to permeate all the other mitzvahs, even the ones that we understand and the ones that we come to through our efforts. They too should be influenced and guided and illuminated and inspired by the Emunah and the Kabbalah Seul and the acceptance of the yoke that we feel and recognize in the first two commandments. So in order to connect that gift with our own efforts, as we said before, that Chalkeinu, our part of Torah, should be connected to Torah Secha, God's part of Torah, that's why we heard all 10 commandments from God. The voice of God said all 10 commandments and we heard it. And that gave us our faith in all the commandments. The other 8 commandments representing all the commandments of Torah. So our faith in the commandment, our acceptance of the commandment came from the voice of God that pronounced the commandments. And then our understanding of it, that came through Moshe. So that even the parts of Torah that we understood, that we learned from Moshe, were influenced, were motivated, were permeated with an emunah, with an awareness of the hearing of God's voice in that commandment as well. And so it comes to the dividing of the land through the drawing of lots. That is because Israel also is a gift from above. The 3 gifts we mentioned before, Torah is one of them, the other one is Eretz Yisrael. So Eretz Yisrael also comes as a gift from above. There's no effort necessary to making the land a holy land. It is holy from above as a gift, and we have to acquire it through a means that also reflects this level that is beyond and above our effort and our understanding, but rather on the level of the gift, which is the Geudel. And just as the Matana, the part of Torah that is a gift, comes after we've done everything we can in the other 2 parts of Torah, that which is dependent on our efforts, the same is true also with the land, that there first has to be a division made logically through our own efforts. And then on top of that, we introduce the Hashgacha Elyona, the divine providence revealed in the dividing of the land through the drawing of the lots.